You'll continue standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Acts. We'll be reading from the first chapter, verses 6 through 12. Listen for the word of God. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Good morning. Take just a minute of personal privilege here and tell you all how very much I've enjoyed being your district superintendent. For the last 6 years, when I got here, we had to get a few things done, but we got them done, and it's been wonderful. And you all are one of my favorite churches. I have 42, and trust me, you are one of my favorites. So thank you for 6 wonderful years. And the reception last week was beautiful, lovely, and I appreciate it so much. And thank you for your hospitality to me and to all those who came. Thank you for that. We will start with the sermon. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. A few days ago, I was on the internet. I'm on the internet almost every day, but I came across some light bulb jokes, and I thought I'd share them this morning. I don't know why, but I just really like light bulb jokes. So I'm going to tell you a couple of them. Hang with me. How many Roman Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? Well, the priest composes a homily in honor of the new light bulb while the nuns raffle off the old light bulb. I thought y'all'd like that. How many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? Change. My grandmother donated that light bulb. And my last one, I promise, my last one. How many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? Well, 6 people have to form a committee to study it. The trustees will actually change it, but the fellowship committee will organize a potluck. And when it's changed, the people will look back at lament that the old one is gone, and it shone like no other light bulb ever. I know light bulb jokes are silly, but there's that kernel of truth in them that makes them so very funny. And as church members, we have a way of looking back, hanging on to the past. And I don't think it's just church members. I think it's the whole human race. We remember the good old days, and we look back. We look back to what worked. We look back to what was and who or what we loved. The scripture says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven?" In our scripture, Jesus had ascended into heaven, and the disciples stood there looking up to where he had been. They were looking to the last place that they'd seen the Lord. But he was gone. Who knows how long they would have stood there looking up, looking back, if those two heavenly beings hadn't tapped him on the shoulder and asked him why they were standing there. It was time to move on. Time to do something else. And so they did exactly that. They went back to Jerusalem. They went back to that room where they had all gathered, and they prayed. I think praying is a good thing to do when it's time for change. There was no going back because Jesus was gone. But he told them, stay in Jerusalem. Wait for the sustainer, wait for the advocate, wait for the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was sending the Holy Spirit to them. So now they were caught in between that time of waiting, the time between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They didn't know when it would come. They didn't know when Pentecost was scheduled in the church calendar. They didn't know what would happen next. They didn't know what their next assignment would be. So they turned to the Lord in prayer, not to turn back to what was, but to wait and discern what it was to be, so that they could be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, when you think about it, the church is in an in-between time right now. We're in the time of the Holy Spirit, but we're waiting for Jesus to return. We're waiting for Jesus to claim his faithful. But we, you and I, all of us, we've been given an assignment. We have to be witnesses to the love of Christ. And that witnessing goes beyond here. It goes to all the ends of the earth. And like Peter and James and John and all the rest of the disciples, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do just that, to be that witness. But like the disciples, sometimes we get caught looking up, gazing back at what was, gazing back at the good old days when the church was successful, to the good old days when most Americans went to church and they brought their children, to the good old days when there were no soccer fields or baseball fields that were busy on Sunday morning, to the good old days when there were no stores open so you could go shopping. But this is indeed the 21st century, and things have changed. And people have a lot of choices these days for what it is they do on Sunday morning. And when people do come to church, sometimes those old familiar hymns that I love so much aren't very familiar to people. And those wonderful liturgies that I grew up saying, those things that mean so much to me, sometimes they confuse people instead of drawing them into worship. And then you think about going to church. Some people dress up. Some people dress down. Some folks come to hear the music. Some people come to hear the message. Some come to just soothe their souls. And some come to be nourished by the Lord's Supper. And some come for all the above reasons. But I think there may be a whole nother list of reasons for our 21st century. But I have to tell you something that I know to be true, and that is the need is the same. The need, the human need to hear the good news is the same as it was 20 years ago, 100 years ago, 2,000 years ago. We need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. People still need to hear that God loves them. God loves you. God loves me. There are no exceptions. God loves you. Even when you feel unlovable, God loves you. Even when you're having a bad day and it's the 50th bad day in a row, God loves you. Whether you're neat or whether you're sloppy, God loves you. Whether you're a straight-A student or an average student or you didn't finish school, God loves you. And here's more good news. God loves us so much, He doesn't want to leave us where we are. If we're open to being changed by God, we may find that God changes us as much as going from a dim, worn-out light bulb to a brand new, shiny one. And when we, as the people of God, are open to change, our churches may change as well. We all enjoy looking back at the way things were, but we need to be looking around at the way things are so we can witness to people in a way they will actually hear us. Because it's not important that we carry on lovely traditions, much as I love them, as much as it is important to grow ourselves as Christians and to witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. Because, folks, the main thing is the good news. The main thing is God loves us. God loves the people of the world and wants them to know that He loves them so much, He sent His only Son, Jesus, to teach us about God's love. To die on a cross, to be resurrected, and to conquer death for us. God wants health and life and peace for us. God commands us, love Him and love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's not just the neighbor that's sitting next to you in the pew. That's the neighbor. That's every human being that we might encounter. And we witness by the way we live our lives. But we also witness by telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And like the disciples, we want to turn our hearts to God, but we can't just look to God. We've got to look at our neighbors as well, so we can see how to share the love of Christ with them. A love that came to earth for us. A love that went to the cross for us. A love that abides with us forever. So why do we stand looking up to heaven? Friends, we've been given a commission. Go make disciples of all the nations. This day, from this place, go shine the light of Christ on all that you see. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen.